chapter. His calling is from God. He challenged believers in the area of peace and grace. And the cornerstone of his message was that of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. The next verses, we considered the deception of Satan. And because of that deception, the duty of every believer to be aware of those false presentations of the gospel. And then, of course, he speaks of the doom of false teachers. We come this morning to verse number 10. If you'll read that with me here, verse number 10, the Bible says, Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Every individual has to make a decision, has to make a choice about being a God-pleaser or being a man-pleaser, but you cannot be both. The truth of the matter is that most people today are men-pleasers. I wonder what you would find in my life if you traveled with me day after day, if you would find in me to be one that is a man-pleaser or a God-pleaser. I pray that if you traveled with me and mirrored my walk, that you would find me to be a God-pleaser. The Apostle Paul says, this is no time to have this discussion about who I am pleasing. I've already said to you, the nature of my message was that of the message that was originally delivered unto me from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, I am preaching the truth and I am seeking to please God alone. You know, someone who is out to please men will cower, they'll capitulate, they'll compromise, or they'll seek to court the approval of others. They want to be liked, they want to secure acceptance, they want to secure approval. Someone who's out to please God will do everything in their life for an audience of one. An audience of one. I ask you this morning, have you ever made up your mind that you will be a God pleaser? Boy, I tell you what, when you consider the ramifications of being a God pleaser, that is a sobering path to take. Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to Luke chapter number 14. If you would turn there rapidly, Luke chapter 14. This highlights the nature of what it means to be a God pleaser. Luke chapter 14 in verse number 26. This lays it bare for you and for me to consider where we are. Am I a man pleaser? Am I a God pleaser? I think you would agree with me that much of what we see in the political world is about being a man pleaser. How do I please enough men that will sign my name up in the ballot and put me into office and then I can do whatever I want to do, all right? That is not uncommon. But here's what it is to be a God pleaser. Luke 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Are you a God-pleaser or a man-pleaser? Well, in order to be a God-pleaser, you have to start off with the very first point, and that's the matter of salvation. If you've not yet come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, today is that day. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, God declares that He desires you to be born again. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants your neighbors to come to repentance. He wants your friends to come to repentance. He wants your enemies to come to repentance. You see, God desires for you to be born again. Perhaps this morning you're trusting in your own riches to get you to heaven, and you're thinking to yourself, if I accrue enough in this life, I'll go to heaven. Riches will not win heaven. Perhaps you're trusting in your own righteousness and all that you've accumulated in the good that you've done. Righteousness, self-righteousness will not get you to heaven. Perhaps this morning you're trusting in religion and all that your religion teaches you, the catechisms and all the steps and all the sacraments and all these different items of the journeys and the amounts given and all of the challenges that the religion has presented to you, and you're thinking to yourself, when I stand before Almighty God, I will be okay because my religion will stand for me. The truth of the matter is, my friend, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus Christ said, and then it's listed in the Gospel of John, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, I don't know if you realized it, but that's a very exclusive verse. Jesus says there's one way, there's one truth, there's one life, and that it is all contained in His path. If you have not yet come to His path, you have not yet been redeemed, and my friend, you are not yet pleasing unto Almighty God. But you know what? I'm doing a lot of good things. I'm doing a lot of kind things. My friend, none of that is pleasing unto Almighty God if you haven't come to this first step of salvation. God wants all men to come to the cross of Calvary and to receive Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've thought about it this way or not, but it is the greatest gift that has ever been given. And that gift, that is the greatest gift that has ever been given, has your name on the tag. And it says, love Jesus. And He has arms that are wide open in love, and He calls you to Himself that you might be born again. Sadly, there are two different types of people that are listening to that call to salvation. There are those that are actually seeking to please men, and because of their desire to please men, they have not responded to salvation. The challenge is before them. Come to Christ. But they've got people down the row that would mock that step of faith. And so because they're more desirous of pleasing them, they've not yet taken the step of believing in Jesus Christ and coming to Him by faith. I've watched this on a number of different occasions at the Christian camp that we so often go to, the Wilds of North Carolina. They normally would have, in my day, again it may have changed now, but in my day they'd have the sponsors, 200 to 300 sponsors, sitting in the back of about 1,000 teenagers. And throughout the course of that large group, we could identify the heads of our teenagers. And I've watched and observed as the invitation is given and given and given. I've watched young people when heads are bowed and eyes are closed and they kind of make that subtle turn to the right and that subtle turn to the left because they want to know what the other teenagers are doing. Well, I tell you what, if you're more afraid of them than you are of appearing before a holy Creator, my friend, today's the day to change that mindset. To no longer be a man pleaser about the matter of salvation, but actually to come to Jesus Christ and be born again. I think there are some that reject salvation that they might please men. I think there's another group, and I think there are individuals out there that have rejected the call of salvation and become true possessors of salvation because they've made a profession to get their mom and dad off their back. Perhaps they've been in a bad spot. Perhaps they were caught in a crime. And they just think to themselves, well, I'll get everyone off my back and I'll make a profession of faith. But really, I'm not accepting Jesus Christ in my heart this morning. It's possible that we have individuals sitting here in this auditorium watching us on live stream. And for years, you've known that you are a professor, but you're not a possessor. Well, I professed it. I got my folks off my back. I'm looking the right part. I'm acting the right part. My teachers in school think that I'm a good kid. I'm getting decent grades. They think that I'm okay. But in my heart, I know that I've really never been born again. Well, you know, that's the mindset of someone that's more out to please men and not to please God. We start right there with the matter of salvation. If I'm going to be a God pleaser, then I must know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Number two, a God pleaser must be willing to sacrifice. A God pleaser must be willing to sacrifice. Well, of course you'd say that, Pastor, on a day that you've asked us to give all of our Christmas money to the missionaries and not to give our kids anything. All right, Let's deal with this. You know, there's not much that I have to sacrifice in the world today. In fact, when you're sitting around a table so often, the items that we're really talking about that were really, really tough for us to suffer in is that our Wi-Fi wasn't as strong as we would like it to be. You ever go to hotel reviews? Some of you stay in hotels quite a bit. You go to the hotel reviews and you find out, and this is their review. They gave 1 star out of 5, and here's their reasoning. Wi-Fi wasn't that strong in the room. Well, that's horrible. How do you survive that? Hot water was not as hot as I like it. Lights in the bathroom were not as bright as I'd like them to be. You know, and so they've given 1 star out of 5. They've crushed the reputation of the hotel, and it's because the apple juice was a little bit more tart than they like. Or the chocolate candy on the pillow was not the brand that you most prefer. It was not a York peppermint patty, right? All right? We have all these kinds of things, and we wear them, and we say, my, didn't we suffer? Oh, that was just horrible. The cloth robes at that hotel were just really not up to my standard. And I had to suffer and put that onto my body after, you know, cleaning up and everything like this. I just don't know if I'll survive. If you think through life, I mean, do we really suffer? This is how bad my suffering is. And I told this to you, I think, in recent days. But this is how bad my suffering capacity is. We're driving in Peru, and when the missionary takes a phone call on his phone, on speakerphone, because the air conditioner in his car was so loud, the air conditioner cut off as long as he was on the phone. That's where I'm suffering. The air conditioning went out. The missionary is speaking in Spanish and talking about something that I have no idea about. And I'm sitting there thinking the whole time, hey, wrap it up. Can we put the windows down? I'm really suffering here, don't you see? Well, it got to be a big joke, and I said, man, if that were stateside, I'd tell everybody, you better be an important phone call because you got 20 seconds. My air's off. We're really suffering, aren't we? Well, I tell you what, there are ways that even in 2023 we can suffer for the name of Christ. Let me remind you of what the Apostle Paul endured when he first came to Christ. I'm going to give the illustration. He walks the aisle in the church service and says, Lord, who art thou? He says, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Okay, what would thou have me to do? A call to salvation and a call to service. God appears to another individual and says this about the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16. This is his walking papers from having come to Christ. These are the walking papers. These are the instructions from having come to know the Lord. The Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now again, what if that were your walking papers after walking forward, trusting Christ, and on your way out, we're so excited, here's your discipleship book, and oh, by the way, let me demonstrate how much you're going to suffer for the name of Christ from this day forward. I don't know, my friend, that we suffer like we once did. In days gone by, when you talk to missionaries that are without power for 8, 10, 12 hours a day, when you speak with missionaries that have battery backups, and so often those battery backups take up an entire room because they want to just have a few lights on in the evening hours. You talk to missionaries that attend churches, and those churches don't have internal heat and air. And whatever the temperature is outside, it is inside. And they're enduring all of those kinds of things. In the wintertime, you just put on more blankets. The summertime, it's hotter, it's hotter, it's hotter than blue blazes. And you see this kind of dynamic again and again, and then we come back and we think to ourselves, boy, I'm really suffering. The truth of the matter is, We don't know what is ahead, but are you willing to suffer for the name of Christ? Are you willing to suffer for the name of Christ? Are you willing to give up a little bit here or there? Are you willing to give up a lot here and there that you might be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the greatest testimony that the Apostle Paul ever gave was really not a verbal testimony, but it was just taking off his robe and showing the nature of his back and demonstrating to all that he wasn't just a lip service follower of Christ, but he was an apostle, one willing to sacrifice. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, five times he's beaten with 39 stripes, three times beaten with rods, one time he's stoned, three times he's shipwrecked. A night and a day in the deep. I call the church and I say, hey, they canceled my flight and it's going to be delayed and I'm not going to get in until 10 o'clock. But literally, I can be anywhere in the world in less than a 24-hour period. Look at what they endured back in these days. A disciple of Jesus Christ is one who is willing to sacrifice. Boy, I tell you what, if I'm not willing to sacrifice, I'll never be a God-pleaser. Number one, a God-pleaser has come to salvation. Number two, a God-pleaser is willing to sacrifice. Number three, a God-pleaser is a servant. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters. I'm asking each and every one of us, who is your ultimate master? You know, there's not very many people in the world today that want to be a servant, that just raise their hand and say, yes, 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 I just want to serve. But boy, that's the highest calling of God in Christ Jesus, is to be a servant of the Most High. I would dare say that instead of following the path that the world has chosen and climbing over other people to go up the corporate ladder, you would be far better off to be a servant of Almighty God and let Him take your life through the corporation as He sees fit. A God-pleaser is a servant. In His eyes, in Almighty God's eyes, the way up is the way down. Are you a slave to Almighty God? Or, if you're honest this morning, is there someone else that is sitting in the master's seat of your life? 1 John 12:26, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Boy, that's a tremendous verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse number 22, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. The greatest level of freedom that I can have in my life is being a servant of the Most High God. You see, there may be some this morning that are actually serving somebody else or something else, and that master is a taskmaster. Jesus says to us, as we looked at on Wednesday night, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Imagine that you went to work at your place of employment and your boss said, listen, I'm going to hire you for the most cush job that's out there, and it will be the greatest opportunity you've ever had. That's what Jesus is saying unto us. Take upon me my yoke. My burden is easy. Listen, serving Jesus Christ is the greatest level of freedom you're going to have in life. Oh, that the young people would understand that. Oh, that early on in life, young people would say, I'd rather have Jesus as the taskmaster. I'd rather be chained to the oar of the boat that Jesus is directing and commanding than to submit myself to the devil and his crowd. Oh, the servant of God. Make me a servant like you, dear Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. A God-pleaser is saved. They've been born again. A God-pleaser is willing to sacrifice. A God-pleaser will be a servant. Number four, a God-pleaser will be surrendered to His perfect will. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, so likewise, Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. God, I'm willing to be surrendered to your perfect will. I'm taking my hands off, and dear Lord, I want to do exactly what you want me to do. God, I want you to go where you'd have me go. I want to say what you'd have me to say. I want to do what you'd have me to do. In recent days, in walking with David Hasifluk in Albania, he's been there in Albania for 30 years, and while we were with him, we reflected on how life has changed in his 30 years. And it was amazing to consider the stories that he shared when he first went there as a single young man working in an orphanage in Albania, and where he is now 30 years later, and how they started that first church in the one city, taking the kids there in the orphanage, and really that was the first nucleus of the first church, and how it's grown from there, and he's met adult after adult, and adults have been born again, and when they've gotten saved, they've said to him, hey, go with me to my village, and let me take the gospel into this next village, and this village, and this village. Just talking about how there's been provision and what Albania was like when it had just come out of communism, then when the wall fell, and where it is now in 2023. What a transition and what a change. But I believe with all of my heart that if David stood before you right now, he'd say, you know what? I just walked through every single door that God directed me in. And I've observed David's life now for all these years, and I believe with all of my heart he would say, I took my hands off, and I've just let God do whatever he wanted me to do. Let me ask you this morning, are you a man pleaser? It's not real hard to do that. You're just going to capitulate. You're just going to give in. You're going to compromise. You're going to do whatever you have to do to just get along. But that's not what God has called us to be. And in this passage, as we've already seen it unfold here, the Apostle Paul confronts false doctrine. And he says to them, listen, I came and I preached the truth unto you, and now others are perverting the gospel, and listen to me, there is a stark contrast between those individuals and me. I'm seeking to please God, and they're out to please men. And I say to FBT this morning, what will we be? Will we be men pleasers, or will we be God pleasers? By God's grace, in spite of whatever decision that every other church may make in our county, in our state, in our country, no matter what decision others may make, may we shine above all else with this as our mantra. We're out to please an audience of one. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this verse and for the specific dagger of conviction that ought to come to each one of us this morning. I pray that as we scan our life, that we would be honest and upfront. Do I have a foremost desire to please men? Or is my ultimate goal to please God? It may be that that costs me some positions. It may be that that costs me friendships. I don't know the things that it might cost us, but from what we read in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26 and Luke chapter 9 from the life of the Apostle Paul, we definitely see that it costs to be one that is seeking to please God, to please an audience of one. When Saul was fighting on behalf of religion, he was the most popular guy as far as the majority in the crowd. But when he responded to the call of salvation, it cost him. It may be that there are some this morning that have been professors, but they're not really possessors. And you'd bring conviction to their heart this morning and you tap them with that Holy Spirit conviction that says, you know what, he's talking to you right now and you need to be truly born again. Perhaps there are others that would look down the aisle and they're worried about what a friend might think. They're worried about what companions at a school or in a place of employment, what they might think. We in many ways take this for granted here in America. Because in countries around the globe where religion is so much in control, there are people that lose employment, lose spouses, lose family, lose contact with family. And when they identify with Christ, it really does cost them something. Lord, I pray that we'd be willing to sacrifice, that we might be servants and be fully surrendered to your will. Would you take the theme of this message this morning and drive it home in each heart? Help us to be God pleasers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We have a time of invitation this morning, as we do each and every service, because